great word. We welcome you again, and thank you for joining with us today. We thank all of our servicemen and women again, as we did when we opened up this morning, for all of your dedication, work, and sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy in these United States of America. Happy Memorial Day. I want to bring a word to you that the Lord has put upon my heart this morning. Everyone is in the midst of some sort of battle. There's some sort of fear, if you will. There's some sort of anxiety, that could be tempting you today to worry about, to fret about. There's a battle. It could be family, could be finances, could be health, could be any number of things that you're facing with today. What is the answer for conquering your battle? What is the answer for conquering that thing that you're dealing with today? Well, I want to share with you what I believe the Lord has put on my heart to encourage you today. Can encourage you from the Word of God, that God is with you, that He is your strength. We know that throughout the Word of God there were battles. Even the greatest men and women that ever lived, that we see as examples in the Word of God, faced some sort of battle, some sort of personal battle. And so we're faced with things in life, and our first contingent is, our first approach is to take ownership of that battle, take ownership of what can I do about it, what can I do, and there is a matter of responsibility that we're to take for things in our life. But ultimately, the battle is God's. No matter what the battle is, the battle is God's. Deuteronomy 3:22, our focus scripture for today, it says, "You must not fear them, for the Lord your God Himself fights for you." That means that the battle that you're facing today, no matter how big, small, no matter to what extent, no matter what the report says, no matter what you think the outcome will be, the Bible says that God Himself fights for you, not to fear. The answer to our battle that we're facing today is to allow God to fight your battle. Allow Him to fight the battle. It doesn't matter if it's health, marriage, relationship, business, job, school, family, finance. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. You say, well, because of the actions that I've taken, because of things that I've done, I need to pay the consequence. There are consequences to our actions. But even in the times that we make mistakes, and you know what? We've all made mistakes. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Even in those times, I'm going to show you that as we turn to God, God will take the battle. God will fight the battle. God will bring victory to whatever you're facing today. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Jehoshaphat. That's quite a word, and you don't run across many men today with that name. Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah for 25 years. Jehoshaphat loved God. He served God. And in this scripture in 2 Chronicles 20 that we'll look at these next few moments, Jehoshaphat faced the biggest battle of his life. Let's pick up with verse 1 in 2 Chronicles 20. It says, "And it happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat." So there were armies, there were men, there were mighty soldiers that came against Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, and came to destroy him. Said, "Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you.'" So not only did Jehoshaphat know it, that all these were coming against him, but he had people coming to warn him. These people are coming against you. Now, what's our first reaction when we know something's coming? It's not, okay, let's have dinner, let's celebrate. It's fear. It's a gripping of anxiety that, what am I going to do? "And so a great multitude is coming against you," they told Jehoshaphat, "from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat, in verse 3, said, "Jehoshaphat feared." Well, that's the human thing that we have all tendency to do, is to fear. Why? Because we're afraid of what may happen in the face of our enemies coming against us. Can you relate to this? Is there anything that you're facing today that you're fearful of? It said, "And Jehoshaphat feared," in verse 3. "And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah, in verse 4, gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Jehoshaphat called a national day of prayer. That's what we would call it today. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Here's somebody saying, well, Jehoshaphat doesn't understand what I'm facing today. You don't understand how bad things are, really bad things are for me. But we see that the first thing we have to do that Jehoshaphat did, number one, pray for God's answer. Pray for God's answer. In the face of fear, the answer is to pray. The first thing we should do when we fear is to pray. Our first thing to do when we face impossible situations or things that are out of our control, we're losing control, is to fear. And so then that becomes worry. That becomes anxiety. It affects our sleep. It affects our eating. It affects every part of our life. It affects our health. It affects our friendships. Because worry is it just eats away at our heart, eats away at our mind, at our spirit, and eats away at our peace. Where we don't have peace within us, how much can we have peace around us? But Jehoshaphat shows the example that when he feared, the first thing he did was pray and ask for God's answer. He set himself to seek the Lord, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 said, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. There's nothing wrong with fasting today. Sometimes it requires us to give of ourselves something important to us. In my case, it's food. Give of ourselves from that, take ourselves from that thing so that our mind can be more focused on hearing God's voice. Jehoshaphat set himself to seek God. That must be our first response to fear. And see, the devil will use any fearful situation or anxiety situation in our life, such as we're facing today. He'll use that thing to eat at us, and the more we think about it, the bigger it gets. The bigger it gets, I mean, it becomes more and greater than life itself. But God, his perfect love in us as we seek him, as we say, God, I want to hear your answer in this, he takes that fear and turns it aside and causes our focus to be on him. God is the only answer to fear. God is the only answer to fear, and he's the only one that has the answer to your situation today, even when it seems like it's bigger than life itself. But you know what? God never fails. God never, ever fails. He has never failed, and he will never fail. And so in the following verses in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 4 through 11, it's showing that Jehoshaphat continued to pray. He continued to cry out to God. He continued to pour out his heart to God in these verses. And then in verse 12, it says, O our God, will you not judge them? Speaking of his enemies, will you not judge these enemies? For we have no power against them, this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But, that big word, B-U-T, but our eyes are upon you. Jehoshaphat said, we have no power. We can't do anything. They're bigger than us. They're coming to take our lives. They're more numerous than us. They're well trained. These are mighty soldiers, mighty men to come fight against us and destroy us. But Jehoshaphat continued and he said, our eyes are on you. See, when we put our eyes on God, it changes our perception of even the baddest, the worst situation, the most harmful situation. Our eyes become on Christ and not on the situation. Because really it is out of our power. It's out of our strength. It's beyond what we can physically do. But it's not any greater than what God can do. God can always bring greater in the circumstances. And we'll see in the story today what Jehoshaphat did and what God did in his life. But we don't need to pretend to have answers. We don't need to pretend to have, well, let's try this or let's try that. What's the worst case scenario? What can we do? Well, we can run, hide. We can see fear will draw us in a shell. Fear will cause us to be depressed and anxious and to pull away from people, even the most the ones that love us the most. But we've got to depend on God the way that Jehoshaphat depended on God. When he prayed, when he fasted, when he set his eyes on God, the next thing we see in verse 14 is that God began to speak. God began to speak. In verse 14 it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazi. And Jehazi was a man of God. And they were actually in the middle of having church. They were having prayer. In verse 15 it says, and he said, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, listen again, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. God speaks to everyone that gives attention to him. If our attention is on God, he's speaking. You know what? If we don't hear him audibly speaking, he's speaking right here. He's actually speaking to you today through his word. And he continually speaks. If you want to hear a word from God, start reading the Bible. Read it out loud. As you speak, that's God speaking to you because it's the word that he wrote to you today. But it said the battle is not yours, it's God's. And so the reason that God spoke was because they gave time, they gave prayer, they gave attention, they set their eyes on God, and it gave opportunity for God to speak. Sometimes we don't hear God speak because the volume of our fear is louder than our ears. So we have the volume of everything else in life turned wide open and the volume of God turned way down low, right? Sometimes if I don't have my seatbelt on in the car, I don't hear the ding because the music's too loud. That's not a good thing. And so we need to turn the things that are drowning God out, we need to turn those things down. We need to set our focus and our attention on God so that we can hear what he's saying to us. He is speaking. And he goes on to give specific instructions to Jehoshaphat, just like he's given us today. And in verse 16 it says, the man of God spoke, and he continued to say in verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. So just in verse 17 he says, the battle is not yours, the battle is God's. And now he's saying in verse 16, go down and see your enemy. Wow. You say, well, there seems to be a conflict there. There's no conflict at all. God wanted these people to be there to see what he was about to do. See, sometimes our testimony is greater when we experience the battle than if we check out and we say, God handled this thing. We're going to be at Harris Teeter for a while you're handling this thing. So our testimony would be, well, I guess God did it. I was shopping and God did it. Praise God. But he sometimes instructs us to go through the fire, go through the battle, to see the face of our enemy. Even in the battle, he's going to bring an answer and we can say, wow, I know firsthand because I saw the face of my enemies. I saw how they're going to take my life out. I saw that cancer that was supposed to take my life. I saw that thing. I saw how big it was. But then I saw God come in and turn that situation around and save my life. We see it firsthand. And so God calls these people to go. He said, tomorrow, go down to them. He didn't want him to fight. He made it clear already. This is not your battle. You're not to fight the battle. I'm going to fight the battle, but go down to see them. There's not a conflict there. There's a lesson there that we can face our enemy and watch God fight our battle. So God instructed them to go down. God wanted Jehoshaphat and all the people there to witness what was about to happen by the hand of God. So God gives a front row seat to his people. Come on down, watch what I'm about to do. And so God says you must be present to win. He wanted them present. He wanted them to have first eyes. And it goes on to say in verse 16, they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. God's telling them where to be because God told them, God spoke to them because their eyes were dedicated to him. God spoke to them and said, where are your enemies coming from? So he said, they'll be coming up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Verse 17, it says, you will not need to fight in this battle. He says it again. You will not need to fight in this battle, says God. Position yourselves. Now note these words, as I'll bring those up again in just a moment. He says, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. We need to be reminded of what God wants us to do. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So God's instructing them to approach their enemy, to stand in position, and witness the power of the work of God. And so secondly, we need to listen to God's instruction. We need to listen. God is giving instruction today. God is giving you instruction. If it's not the instruction that we want to hear, we tune it out. Well, God, that's not necessarily what I want to do, but thank you for giving me your advice. I'm going to take this other route. But if we dedicate our ear to listening God, to seek God, to pray for his answer, he will give instruction. So we have to listen to God's instruction. He will give it. Luke 11:28 says, but he said, Jesus said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So we talked last week about taking action. There's action that we have to take. In this case, Jehoshaphat's action was not to necessarily fight his enemy, not to fight his enemy, but to proceed and to face what God was about to do. So when we listen to God's instruction, when we're fearful, many times we act irrationally. So when we act in our fear, in our own intellect, we act irrationally. When we're fearful, many times we overreact. When we're fearful, sometimes we don't move soon enough. Other times when we're fearful, we move too soon. How many know what timing is everything? Timing is everything, and God's timing is always perfect. So if we're not following God's instruction, we could be out of timing with his perfect will. See, it could be a great thing, but it could be too early. It could be a great thing, or it could be too late. If we're too early, we give the enemy time to, we've already blown up and blown out, and here comes the enemy. We could be too late, and he's already eaten our lunch. But if we're in God's perfect timing, if we listen to his instruction, he'll cause us not to act irrationally, not to act out of God's timing, not to be fearful, not to allow room for the devil to destroy us. The timing of what God was telling Jehoshaphat to do, we'll see that the timing was perfect in what God was telling him to do. We've got to hear the instruction. We've got to hear the instruction of God and not act out of fear. And so we listen to God's instruction, and we're always in God's perfect timing. In verse 18 it says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." Wow. Okay, so the enemy is coming. They're being prepared tomorrow to go to see their enemy, and now their faces are on the ground worshiping the Lord. Let me encourage you, before you get the answer, before the thing is even brought to fruition, before God's hand is even moving, we know that he's going to do it. Before we do all those things, we must worship the Lord. It said in verse 19 that all of the Levites, all of them, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Have you ever been excited? Now, I've been around Georgia Bulldogs all my life. And I know when there's times of excitement, I have yet to see somebody that's excited, that wants to see the Bulldogs win, that they're sitting still, they're saying, "Yay, go, go." They stand up, they're loud, sometimes they're obnoxious, but they're rooting for their team. Did you know when you're excited, when you're passionate about something, we show that in our worship. Your trust and faith in God is shown in how you worship God. How we react to our belief in him says a lot about our trust and our faith in God. How excited, how passionate. Well, we see how passionate Jehoshaphat was, because he was worshiping God before he had the answer. You say, well, what if God didn't come through? What if he didn't? I guess there would have been reason why he didn't. Maybe there was another plan, a better plan. I know the Bible says that his plan is higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. So if we trust God, we trust God whether he brings us out or leaves us in. And so Jehoshaphat, the Bible says that he worshiped the Lord. They stood up. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with loud voices and with voices loud and high. We see now why we like Christian music real loud, right? And so our excitement, our passion, I believe as we tune into God, as we become excited, as we become passionate, God, I know that you're going to do this thing, so much so that I'm going to worship you and thank you before it's ever done. That was key for Jehoshaphat. He called the National Day of Prayer. They were about to go see the enemy. The last thing you would think they would do would be celebrate and worship God. But they took time to worship God. They knew that their victory was about to come, however God decided to do it. They had no clue how it was going to happen. No idea how it was going to happen. See, you don't have any idea how God's going to work that miracle in your life. I have no idea how God's going to work that miracle in my life. But I trust that he will. So today, before it happens, I choose to worship God. I choose to proclaim how great, awesome, and mighty God is. There is power in your worship. There's power in your worship. I'm not saying that it doesn't move God's face. I believe our worship gets God's attention. But you know what? More so than that, it gets my attention. It puts my focus on God rather than on the problem. Does it make the problem go away, dissolve? It was like it was never there? Not necessarily. We've prayed in the past couple of years with a lady that had cancer. The cancer was there. We praised God, the cancer was still there. But you know what? When it was all said and done, the cancer was gone. And we continue to worship God in it and after it, through it and over it and beyond it. God had his perfect timing in that. But you know what? We've got to continue to worship God. We've got to continue to praise him, to trust him. We pray for God's answer. We listen to God's word. And third, we worship God. We worship God. That's how we fight our battle. That's how we allow God to fight our battle for us. When we truly trust God to fight our battle, the proof is in our worship. When we truly trust God, the proof of our trust is in our worship to God. I've got a funny illustration, and please take this in the way that I mean it with utmost respect. But we have two little Dachshunds, a 2-year-old Dachshund named Rocky and a 7-year-old Dachshund named Indy. And when they see me walk through the door in the afternoon when I get home, they don't stay sitting in the chairs. As a matter of fact, on my way into the door, I hear them yelping and hollering and screaming and barking and biting each other and so excited, spinning in circles and a couple of other things that we won't talk about. But they get so excited that Daddy's about home. They bark loudly. They move around. And did you know that we should be maybe some of the same way? When we see God about to move, we get so excited that we get so emotional, that we get so excited, we get so passionate, that even our body language talks about how excited we are to see God, how excited we are to see God's hand at work in our life. We get so excited because, Daddy, you're doing this great thing. Daddy's home, and so the boys go wild. Why? Because they know Daddy's there to play. He know that Daddy's there to take care of them. God is there with you to take care of you. He's there to bring excitement. He's there to bring peace. He's there to bring blessings to your life. Did you know that even Paul and Silas, they did the same thing when they were confined to a jail in Acts 16:25? It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God so loudly that all the prisoners were listening to them. See, that was not after they were in jail. That's not after they got out. That was while they were still in jail. That's while they were still facing a situation that they thought was impossible. Well, God, we're in jail here. Do you know where we are? Rather than mully-grubbing and being discouraged and having their eyes on the situation, they chose, the Bible says, to pray and to sing hymns to God. Our worship will precede our answer. Worship is awesome. Worship breaks chains of fear. Worship breaks the power of your enemy. When your enemy sees you're excited about what God's going to do, hasn't yet done, your enemy gets a little nervous. Your situation begins to fall apart in that it's not there to destroy you, but it's there to bless you. Our faith in God, while we worship God, our faith in God increases. Our faith in God just builds more and more because as we sing, as we get our mind, soul, body, and spirit in tune with what God's doing, we become more excited and become more anticipated and expecting of what God's about to do. And so God spoke to Jehoshaphat, go down tomorrow to see your enemy. And in verse 20, it said, so they rose. I love that scripture. They acted in obedience. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness. And in verse 22, it said, now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of all of these armies, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. There were three armies there who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Was it anything that Jehoshaphat did? No. It was the power of God. God defeated their enemy right in front of their eyes. They saw their enemies fall. They saw them defeated. They saw them die. As a matter of fact, their enemies turned against each other. The armies turned against each other and killed one another. Jehoshaphat didn't even have a hand in that. But God brought about what he said that he would do for Jehoshaphat. Why? Because Jehoshaphat was following God. He was looking to God for the answer. He allowed God to fight his battle. That's the only way we can be successful, is to allow God to fight our battle. And he will always win. He hasn't lost one yet. Verse 24 said, so when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. God's perfect timing. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you, he's already begun it because you're breathing, you're alive. He who has begun the work in you will complete it. He promises to complete it when our eyes are focused on him. And finally, number 4, receive God's peace. Receive God's peace and his blessings. Receive God's peace and blessings because he's promised you that as you walk through this thing, he will reward you. Verse 25 says, they found among them an abundance of valuables. You say, well, is that what it's all about? What it's all about is God bringing you peace and blessings, however he chooses to bring that, in whatever form he chooses to bring that to. We can trust God. We can trust him that he'll bring us through that thing, and then at the very end, as we're faithful to God, that he will bring us peace and blessings, whatever you need in your life today. Whatever you need in your life today. There were two instances this past week that brought this point home for me. In 1 week, I had two instances, and the first one was a lady called me, and she said God had spoke something to her to do that she was a little nervous about doing it because it was bigger than she had ever done before. It required a sacrifice of her that she had never sacrificed. So she called and said, Pastor Mike, God has spoke this thing to me, and I want to get your opinion about it because this is huge for me. I've never, ever done this before, but I feel so strongly I need to do it. And my answer to her, I encouraged her to do as God said to do. Don't fail. Do just what God told you to do. And God is bringing blessing in her life. God is bringing blessing and answers in her family. God is bringing things in her life that she hasn't seen before. Through her obedience, there's more to come. God never, ever asks us to do something unless he's got a blessing and provision in mind. And another lady this past week, the second situation was, I didn't know this until after the fact, there was a great, large answer that needed to come to fruition. And so this person came to a wall. They were desperate for an answer. And so as she was praying for an answer, at the very moment she was praying for an answer, there was another situation brewing here that after they had talked with each other, right at the very same time, she was praying and said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. This is a lot to ask, but you're faithful. You're awesome God. I need an answer tonight. Before the sun goes down tonight, I need an answer. I've got to have an answer. This is out of my control. God, this is you. You're a miraculous God. I need an answer. Within 10 minutes, the phone call came that the answer had been taking place as she was praying. Within a 10-minute time frame. That's only by the hand of God. How can that happen? That can happen because you don't give up on God. You keep your focus and your attention on God. That in both of these situations in this past week, God is moving, God is speaking. And God requires us to follow through on the instruction. But he promises us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. God wants to fight your battle today. God wants to fight that thing that is so strong in your life today. And I want to encourage you today, begin to worship God. Begin to thank him for what he's doing. Because he will bring the answer. He will bring it about. You say, well, I'm tired. I'm getting tired, Pastor Mike. I know. Physically, we do get tired. Physically, we do have limitations. Physically, our emotions can get tapped out. But before that happens, before you get to that extent, go ahead and start worshiping God. Don't wait until you're stressed out before you give it to God. Go ahead and decide today. I want to ask Crystal to come up with me. Go ahead and decide today that you're going to give it to God. God, I'm going to follow your instruction. I'm going to worship you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to stay faithful to you all the way to the end because God said he will be faithful to you. I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you today that you'll just start worshiping God, that God will give you peace, that you have confidence that what God has began in your life, and we know that he has, what God has began, he will complete. He'll bring it to fruition, and he'll bring blessings to your life today. Things are out of your control. Things are out of my control. But as we're obedient to God, nothing is beyond God's control. But we've got to give it to him. We've got to trust him. Even our enemies, the Bible says, God will take care of our enemies. Is that sickness in your body? Cancer may be bigger than us. The coronavirus may be bigger than us, but you know what? It's not bigger than God. We've got to trust him. We've got to believe in him. We've got to have faith in him and worship him today. So, Father, right now, we worship you. No matter what each one is facing today, we choose to worship you, God. We don't see the answer. We see the need. We see the hope. God, you're awesome. So, Lord, today, we choose to worship you. We choose to worship you. Lord, we're not giving up. We're just transferring the responsibility from us, God, to bring an answer. We're releasing ownership of this problem to you today because you said in your word, over and over and over, do not fear, I will fight your battle. So Father, today we allow you to fight our battle. We allow you, Lord, we give control to you. We take our hands off, but Lord, we're going to be present to win. We're going to stand right here with you. We're going to face this thing with you, Lord, by you being by our side as we worship you, God. You're going to take care of all the answers. You're going to take care of all the details today. So Lord, we release it to you. Just tell him, I release it to you, God. I release it to you, God, and I worship you, and I have faith and trust in you to bring an answer today. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll give peace to everyone today, God, that you'll cause our eyes to be focused on you just like Jehoshaphat did, to set our eyes on you, to pray and to fast, to seek your instruction, to listen to your instruction, God, to follow you, God. Lord, to worship you. Help us, God, to be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. I pray you now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. We're with you. Call us. Respond to us. Connect with us. We look forward to seeing you back here in person, live, next Sunday morning, 10:30. God bless you. We love you.